Yes, welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. It is Jay Clark and Lee Montagne, the 287 game, two-time All-Australian St Kilda superstar, here with you until 12, and we have another massive show ahead. We've had a great footy season, Joey, but we've got a special guest, one of the biggest athletes on the planet, in here to talk with us in the next hour.
Yeah, the Miz, WWE superstar, so anyone in the cars driving this morning, got the kids and you love your wrestling, you've got to tune in and listen to The Miz. I can't wait to interview him. I was a wrestling fan as a kid, Jay-Z. Yes. I used to love it. So every school holidays, I used to go to the video store.
Yes.
And I used to get all the WrestleMania videos. I loved it. I was the Ultimate Warrior was my favourite, and Bret the Hitman Hart. And I used to love the Royal Rumbles, where they all used to get in the ring, about 16 of them, and it was last man standing. So I was a big wrestling fan as a kid, and looking forward to meeting one of the greatest superstars on earth. So that's going to be exciting.
What was your sort of favourite move? You jump off the couch, like off the top rope, or do you use your speed around the ring, Joey, or how would you have attacked the contest?
Well, my little brother was about four. He's 4 years younger than me, so I was able to always win the fights with my brother. I used to get him in the. I used to practice those little foot locks and get him in the holds. And problem is, he grew up and got bigger than me. And then Mum said to me, "Just be careful when your brother grows up and gets bigger than you. Yes. You better be careful." And that day did come when I was about 17. So I haven't fought him ever since.
Well, he's a character, The Miz, and I suspect he's going to throw a few barbs at his opponent, Daniel Bryan. Got him in absolute spectacular tonight at the MCG. But I also want to say good morning to our good man, Ryan Warren. Rabsy, our producer, in here. Rosie's in Hawaii surfing with the Hot Breakfast Crew. You're a Collingwood fan, Rabsy. Is your heart still broken, mate? Is your chin off the floor?
No. Well, that's all I got to say. I was heartbreaking.
Yep. Oh. You went to the game?
Yes.
And it was?
Heartbreaking.
It was tough.
Man, but they deserved it, West Coast, because they missed so many easy shots. And, of course, Dom Sheba's going to kick the hardest one of the quarter.
It was a great game. That's all we want. All the neutral fans just wanted to see a great contest. We hadn't had a great grand final, I don't reckon, for a few years.
Since 2010.
Oh, look, I think that Sydney Hawthorne grand final a few years ago, where Malcheski kicked that goal from the top of the square. That was a pretty good grand final. But now this was an absolute beauty, and your heart does go out to the Collingwood supporters and the Melbourne Storm as well. Our boys, the Storm, got rolled on the Sunday night.
Yes.
So for any of these fans that had the Collingwood-Melbourne Storm double as supporters, they'd be a bit flat. Oh. That was unbelievable. Cooper Cronk, he actually played as a decoy.
Yep.
He had a busted shoulder.
Scapula
was broken.
Yeah.
And he basically didn't touch the ball. He was out there to fool the opposition, thinking they'd go to Cooper Cronk, and every time they went to Keary the other way, it was an unbelievable effort. But tough week. Again, if you break for the Pies and the Storm.
In terms of on-field heroism, like, what are the toughest acts you've seen on a sporting field? You think of Dermy, 89 grand final being poleaxed, and Dippers in there as well. Dean Jones, when he made that 200.
Nigel Lappin, don't remember, played with broken ribs as well. He went into the game with broken ribs.
Just wonder whether Cooper Cronk's efforts to go down, because when he did tackle one bloke, he did look like he was in some pain. Of course, you're as tough as all those blokes. So, Joey, we do have a massive show. As I said, we've got the Miz coming up in about half an hour's time. We're going to speak to Mark Howard. He's the absolute guru, knows all things Bathurst, of course, the big race on tomorrow. We'll chat to him. We're going to talk some trades later, Joey,
this hour
and next hour. Find out the latest on Shield, Kelly, Cameron Watt, the big bear. Of course, a big weekend for the Bush Rangers. And you're going to give us all the best and fairest. Was there eight of them last night?
There's been plenty of best and fairest in the last night or two. So we'll go through the winners. And also, I'll give my tip of the day because that's back. I didn't give one last week. Grand final day took over. But I've got a special today at Caulfield.
Is it Winks?
At Flemington, sorry. It's not Winks. Don't be silly.
And you've been in good form. You've had two firsts.
And a second.
Yeah. So we look forward to more punting gold from you, Joey. But up next, we're going to talk about what the future holds for Geelong's Tim Kelly and what Jesse Hogan is going to do next season. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagne on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. That's Poison, classic tune. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagne. Coming up in about 20 minutes, The Miz, the WWE superstar, ahead of the spectacular Super Showdown at the MCG tonight. But now it's time for some footy.
If you're having list problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems.
But trade news ain't one.
Hit me.
It's Jay-Z's Trade News on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Not bad, Rabsy. I can hear your voice in that little...
Busy week, Rabs, this week.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, you had plenty of time on your hands.
It was beauty. Hey, it's been a massive footy season, Joey, but it's fair to say it feels like things kick up even another gear.
Oh, there's more footy talk going on this week than there has been throughout the finals. It's, but you know why? Because the thing we love about AFL is it gives every fan hope.
Yep.
Next season, there's hope. Everyone starts again. Everyone's equal. and everyone is trying to improve their list. And that's why we love footy, because you just never know. Who predicted that Collingwood and West Coast were going to play in a grand final this year? Who predicted Richmond and Bulldogs would win flags? So it gives every supporter base hope. And if they can land a couple of big fish to their football club, that hope rises even more.
And clubs are certainly getting more aggressive than ever before, Joe. We could see 50 players change clubs over the next fortnight. I want to ask you about Tim Kelly, because he has requested a trade back to Perth, most likely West Coast Eagles. And this is largely for family reasons. So his family is from Perth. They got the three young kids.
Yep.
And we read in today's Herald Sun, and speaking to Geelong yesterday, they want to play hardball. So they're saying if the Eagles can't recompense them fairly, then Tim Kelly won't be going anywhere. So if West Coast, if they get pick 19, right, an end of first round pick for Andrew Gaff, obviously the free agent who might go to North Melbourne, is that a fair trade for Tim Kelly? Pick 19 for Kelly, Joey.
Yeah, first of all, I don't think pick 19 is enough, because Geelong used pick 24 to get Tim Kelly. So that's only five spots lower in the draft. But Tim Kelly has announced himself as, I reckon, a star of the competition. I mean, he was half a vote off winning Geelong's best and fairest in his first season. So I think West Coast need to come up with something better than 19 so they can get creative. There are a lot of ways to do that now and what it looks like. Secondly, I'm reading it. I don't necessarily think Geelong are playing hardball. I think what they're saying, though, is yes, Tim Kelly wants to go back to Perth, mm-hmm. but they're not just going to give him away. They're not just going to say, well, we know you want to go, Tim. Whatever we get back in return as a draft pick, we'll just accept. They're saying, no, we need something fair and comparable, which I understand.
So what if, Joey, what if then, just say West Coast say, well, like it or lump it, pick 19's our best deal.
Yeah.
Does Geelong keep him or not?
Oh, well, that's a decision they're going to have to make on whether you want to keep the player that doesn't really want to be here, whether pick 19 you consider good enough. I don't mind the concept of clubs with a player that's contracted. If they're not happy with the deal, a club can hold on to the player and
Standing firm.
So whether it is Jesse Hogan or Lachie Neal or someone that's contracted, clubs can say, no, we're not getting a good enough deal. You can stay at our club. And that way the balance of power will shift back to the clubs a little bit and not just be all on the players. Because I think we all agree at the moment, the players have got a fair bit of power.
Much power?
Probably a little bit. Like, even if you want to go with Tim Kelly, I'm a bit surprised. He wants to go back to Perth, and that's okay because family reasons, and family takes precedence over football every day of the week. But to not say, but I don't want to go to Fremantle. It's a little bit like, well, hang on. If you want to go back to Perth, what if Fremantle come back to Geelong and say, well, we'll give you a better pick than pick 19 for Tim Kelly?
Yep.
So there's got to be a little bit of a mature way to go about it. But I think that clubs have every right to hold on to a player that's contracted unless they get the deal they want.
The threat then, though, is if the player is truly unhappy and then, you know, cracks the sads and doesn't train and doesn't play. That's the threat, because we see at the moment football, it's all about happiness. It's a loving.
That's what you've got to weigh up. So it might not be worth keeping a player that doesn't want to be at the club because you might not get the best out of him. But if you're a club that thinks, no, we still think that if you stay at our football club, you're still going to try your hardest in pre-season. You're still going to perform at your best, which I think most AFL players would do because they're professional athletes. They don't want to jeopardise their reputation by turning up their toes or having a sook because they're staying at a club they don't want to.
Yeah.
Ideally, mature conversations. Yeah. If a player requests a trade, the club does their best to make it happen. Hopefully everyone gets to a satisfactory position and everyone can move on with their lives and their careers.
Do you think West Coast has got to up the ante? I just wonder.
I think so a little bit. Do you agree? He got picked at 24. This is pick 19, and he's now announced himself as a star. I think it's got to be a pick in the low teens.
Yeah, okay.
To satisfy Geelong, but
maybe there can be. I reckon they get pick 19 and they swap other picks.
A sweetener.
Picks.
Yeah, maybe something else. Yeah, so that
there's
might
an improvement. I just wonder with the contracted player argument whether what the AFL should change the rules in terms of if a player is in contract, then the club can trade that player to wherever they want. So if you're in contract, Joey, and you want to go to West Coast, I can send you to Fremantle.
They can do that.
Well, but it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen, but they can. And that's my argument. A club, and I just gave that Tim Kelly example, he only wants to go to West Coast at this stage. Well, I think that Geelong should say, well, if Fremantle come to the party with a better offer, Tim, we're going to accommodate you. You've asked to leave. We'll do the right thing and send you back to Perth, but we're going to take what is a best offer for us. It's like if a player wants to come to Melbourne from, they're from Adelaide or Port Adelaide, they want to come back to Melbourne and they nominate their club. I think the football clubs have a bit of right to say, well, we'll try our best to get you to, say, Essendon, because you nominate Essendon.
Yeah.
But if St Kilda come to us with a better trade, well, we'll send you to St Kilda. Because that's a player, he's in contract. So a player loses a little bit of his rights if he's in contract. I get if they're out of contract,
yep.
But oh, I think that's fair.
Jesse Hogan's toured Fremantle's facilities. This deal will get done. There's argy bargy to play out. Melbourne want 2 first-round picks for Jesse Hogan. Fremantle only prepared to give 1 at this stage. Where's the middle ground? What is he actually worth, Joey, Jesse Hogan? 1 or 2 first-round picks or somewhere in the middle?
It depends on what Fremantle get for Lachie Neale. It's all got to balance out a little bit. Jesse Hogan is a young superstar of the competition.
1 or 2?
I'd want 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, that's certainly what Melbourne is demanding at the moment. Kicked more goals and averaged more possessions than Jack Rewalt, Tom Hawkins and Tom Lynch at the same age. Lynch off to Fremantle. In the second hour, Joey, we're going to talk about Dylan Scheel and the big decision he faces picking between Carlton, Hawthorne, St Kilda, Essendon. But next, Mark Howard, he's top of the mountain at Bathurst. He's going to tell us who's going to win the big race. It's Jake Clark, Lee Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
It's that time of year, Jay. The weather's warming up. The sun is shining. And if you're thinking about a pool and spa, the best brands and ride advice for a pool and spa, head to Aqua First. Don't miss Melbourne's biggest pool and spa sale today only with splashing good deals store-wide. To celebrate their massive sale today, they're throwing a party with plenty going on for the whole family. So grab the kids, go down there. It includes a sausage sizzle and a jumping castle.
Good idea, Joey. Pluck a duck and win up to 100% off. You could even win a swimming pool. The party's happening at their 2 sites, Ringwood Superstore and Brayside. Aqua First, best brands, right advice. More info at aquafirst.com.au or in store. Foo Fighters, Generator on Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Absolute Tune. It's Jake Clark and Lee Montagna here with you until 12 o'clock. And shortly, we have The Miz, the WWE superstar. He's a charismatic guy. Can't wait to chat to him. But right now, we have Mark Howard, one of football's best callers. He's preparing for a massive cricket season, it's fair to say. But Mark Howard, you love today and tomorrow. Bathurst, this is a time when you really shine.
2 charismatic superstars on the one show. You both have done well, haven't you? Yeah, it's Bathurst. There's people pouring in. They got their singlets on. They're wearing their beards. They've got their beards and they're dry as a bones, and they love it. There's campgrounds up here. Jay-Z and Joey, if you guys haven't been here before, you need to at some stage come to Bathurst in your life.
I've heard about that. We'd love to get there. But I hear the weather is pretty horrible, Howie, there. What's it like, and is it stopping the crowds from flocking in?
Well, it's funny you say that because it's the middle of a big drought up here, in all seriousness. So the farmers have been doing it really, really tough. And I arrived on Tuesday and it didn't stop raining for 3 days. So great news for the farmers, not so good for the V8 enthusiasts. But today, Joey, the sun is shining.
Oi.
There's a crisp little breeze. So everyone's a winner. The farmers have got some rain and now the race fans have come out of their tents and they've dried off and they're watching the V8 supercars in the middle of a practice session at the moment.
That's it. So today is the practice sessions and then later on is the top 10 shootout. So that's where the 10 fastest drivers get to fight it out for pole position. Is that right? That's what happens today. The entree before the main event tomorrow?
Listen to you go, Murray Walker.
Thank
you're spot
very
on.
Much.
Yeah. 5 o'clock this afternoon, you see it on Network 10. The top 10 drivers, which for mine is the best part of the weekend. The race is obviously the race, but just to see what these guys do here, Scotty McLaughlin drove a lap last year, which was the fastest ever lap of this circuit in the V8 supercar. And it was pretty amazing to watch. So they're always on edge. So you never know if you're going to see either history made or one of the world's biggest crashes. So it's always a entertaining time. And Craig Lowndes, who hasn't been in it, who's having his last drive as a full-time driver at Bathurst this year, he's in the top 10, so it'll be well worth a look.
We are speaking to Mark Howard, calling, of course, for Channel 10, Bathurst this weekend. Tell us about Jamie Wincup, because he sizzled around the track yesterday, Howie.
He's a star. He's a star, Jay-Z. He's won it 4 times, won it 3 times in a row with Lowndes. Hasn't had a win for a few years. In fact, the last couple of years, things have really gone wrong for him. There's been all sorts of strange incidents which always happen at Bathurst, but he'd probably go in his favourite alongside Paul Dumbrell, who's probably the most effective co-driver out there. That's a strange thing. Years ago, you used to have your 2 best drivers, but now you can't do that. So you've got guys that have got the championship on the line, Bathurst on the line, handing over their car to guys that have hardly been in it all year. So it's like rolling up to the grand final, Joey, and pulling a bloke out of the Box Hill Hawks that hasn't played the brown and gold all year and expecting to get it done. So it's a little bit weird, but yeah, probably Wincup goes in as favourites. But if you want odds, Get on little Jackie Perkins, son of Larry and James Courtney, a couple of my personal favourites. They might get it done.
Oh, I like it, Howie. I'm always fascinated by pit lane and what happens in there. What is the, I mean, you get some special access in there. What is the atmosphere like in pit lane? Is it tense and edgy, or are the guys relaxed in there, Howie?
No, it's not relaxed. And the one thing you've got to do is have eyes in your back of your head, because you can get run over. You can get run over when you're running around there with your microphone and your headset on. But you see all sorts of things. You see fuel going everywhere and cars catching on fire, guys literally getting bowled over. You've seen guys leave the pit lane before with the tyres not correctly put on, and all of a sudden there's a tyre bouncing down the pit lane. So it's probably the roughest and crudest, for want of a better term, area you get involved in sport, because you're never sure what's going to happen. And the drivers can get pretty testy as well, which is always interesting as well.
Now, Howie, you mentioned Craig Lowndes before. It is, his last season as a driver. And the new Howie Games episodes are starting, the award-winning Howie Games. And I believe one of your first interviews is with the great Craig Lowndes.
Yeah, that's the episode out at the moment, Joey. Yep. I nearly fell off my chair when we did it. He talked about, obviously, you boys, it's Holden and Ford. People are just so dedicated to one or the other. And as a young man, Craig left Holden and went to Ford. And I sort of said to him, what was the worst thing that ever happened to you? And he said, we got death threats. So they take it pretty seriously up here. And thankfully, nothing happened. But yeah, he's a phenomenon. And the thing I love about Craig Lowndes, he gets out of the car, Joey, and you do not know from his demeanour whether he's won the race or come last in the race, because he always has a smile.
Smile, obviously. He does. He always, a bit like Brad Johnson, he just always has that smile on his face. Yeah.
Bit like you, Joey, just racked up another 30.
Well, he's always the last guy signing autographs as well. He is the most approachable, warm, friendly athlete this country has. So, and he learned it from the great Peter Brock, and he'll tell you that. So, yeah, he's a much-loved figure up here.
Did I see you go bushwalking with him recently?
Yes, we went bushwalking and mountain biking. I can't ride a mountain bike, but he can.
Hey, Howie, we are broadcasting live, of course, on Triple M from Bathurst today and tomorrow from midday. So stick with Triple M today. Before we let you go, your man crush, Shua Rioli. You have done an episode in the Howie Games with your the number 33. It drops Thursday, I think. Just quickly, how did the chat go? Because I can't wait with it.
Well, he never speaks, as you know, and I sat down with him at TLA, his management company, for an hour and a half last week in the grand final week, and he's just phenomenal. And he talked about, there's no simple explanation why he has walked away from the game. You need to listen to the whole episode to understand where he grew up and what freedom actually means to Cyril. It was fascinating. I love him, as you know, and he's much missed, and in some ways you wish he was still playing footy, but when you sit down with him and see him so happy and so content with life, good luck to the little man. He's going up there, going fishing. So that one comes out next Thursday on the Howie Games. But yeah, I don't want to say it's an amazing episode, but listen to it, because it'll give you a real insight. Okay, it's amazing.
It's available on Podcast One and iTunes. Mark Howard, this is your time to shine. We thank you so much for sparing us 5 minutes on Triple M's Dead Set Legends today. Enjoy today, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
Mark Howard preparing for a massive cricket season ahead, of course, but all action up there, Mount Panorama, over the next 2 days. Joey, we've got the Miz, the superstar.
He's coming in. I can see him outside.
He's coming.
He's an intimidating looking
And he's got
specimen.
Some nice threads on. We're going to talk to him about his rivalry with Daniel Bryan. What's he going to do to him? His long-term arch enemy tonight. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, more on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. On this beautiful Saturday morning, it's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna with you. And now, this man.
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
That's him. He's the Miz. He's one of the biggest superstars on the planet. And he's with us, Joey, to talk wrestling. Of course, the massive show tonight, the WWE Super Showdown, live at the MCG. Tickets still available, and we do have us. So basically, you're the main act. The Miz, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
I am the main act. I am the most must-see. I'm the most must-listen-to. I mean, whatever you got, I need. I mean, I'm the man.
And you come in here looking absolutely resplendent.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys brought your PJs. I come here in a three-piece suit. You guys literally look like you just rolled out of bed.
You know,
thanks.
We are on radio. No one can see the beautiful suit.
It doesn't matter.
You
you dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And obviously, you guys don't. It's okay. I understand how you do it here, Dananda.
Joey's is this what it's going to be like?
Yeah. Joey's in his green T-shirt. I'm in my grey hoodie. And you're in a resplendent sort of maroon
I love that you're giving guys everyone a description of my suit. You can look on Instagram at Mike the Miz, and you can just see the suit, and then you can look at their crappy attire, I guess you could say.
Well, you are the best dressed.
How long did it take you guys to get ready today? Like, did you just literally roll out of bed and just walk to work?
Yes, literally. I got a coffee. I stopped and got a coffee and then just came straight in.
So it took you longer to get a coffee than to get dressed today.
That's
okay.
True, basically. Yes. Sometimes we put
that really in. Dedicate yourself, I can tell.
Hey, now, Joey, our man Joey here, 287 game superstar for St Kilda, 2-time All Australian. He's got it done on the
Ever
big
won a
stage.
Championship?
Oh, that's sensitive. I lost a couple of grand finals.
Wait, so you're the guy that always makes it. You're like Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Like, you get there. You get to, you're like the guy that's like, oh, man, they're going to win. They're going to win. And then you always lose.
That's correct.
But I'm the other team. Who's the other team that you?
Well, it was Geelong.
So then I guess I'm the Geelong to you. Yeah. So that's exactly what's going to happen at MCG today.
You're taking on Daniel Bryan, of course. And there's a long rivalry. We're going to get to that in a second. But have you ever wrestled? You ever fought in front of 100,000 people before?
So we've had many stadium shows. Obviously, WrestleMania is always very huge. We have our show in Saudi Arabia. And now, you know, we're bringing all our top stars, all our big dogs down here to the MCG. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. This is the biggest show that we ever had in Australia. You have Undertaker versus Triple H with Shawn Michaels as well as Kane by their side. I mean, this is the last time you're going to see that. Cena's coming down. You know, he's going to be with Lashley and going up against Elias and Kevin Owens. You have myself versus Daniel Bryan. You have so many amazing top talents going to be here, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome.
All the superstars. What are your thoughts of the MCG, our great iconic venue here in Melbourne? Are you impressed with it?
You know, I feel like this is like the capital of sports in Australia, and there's no better place to have this event than the MCG. It's historic, and I think that this crowd is going to, I mean, there's no roof, but if there was a roof, we'd blow the roof off the place.
Absolutely.
Now, your history, your rivalry with Daniel Bryan. It's fair to say that you blokes don't like
each other. We don't
like each other. What are you going to do to him tonight?
So, this has been 8 years. Tonight's going to be the night where I get him off my back, finally. Yeah. You know, I beat him at SummerSlam. I beat him at Hell in a Cell. And I feel like this will be just the one that kind of gets me away from him and puts me where I need to be, which is the WWE Championship. Whoever wins the AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe, whoever wins our match, Daniel Bryan versus The Miz, gets an opportunity at one of them. Whoever wins that WWE Championship tonight, that's who we're going up against. So whoever it is, I'm taking that title. I'm bringing the prestige and relevance back to it, putting it in the main event, making it must-see, and that's just the type of caliber of talent that I am. I'm elite. I make it elite.
So for an elite talent like yourself, The Miz, what is a preparation today? You know, big show tonight. What's your preparation this afternoon?
You're looking at my preparation.
I was going to say, this is your prep.
Don't you think the WWE champion should be here? Like, but you guys don't want him. You want The Miz.
Exactly.
Because
right.
You want the person that is in demand. And I am the person that is in demand. And I'm the person inside and outside the ring that is the best for that title. And so this is my preparation right now. I'm doing all media, basically getting everyone excited and ready to see this amazing super show down at the MCG, and then once the show kind of starts happening and I start getting my mind right, I'll start getting into the focus of what I need to do to basically defeat Daniel Bryan.
All right, Miz, well, hang on for a couple of minutes because we're going to find out what is your signature move. What are you going to finish this fight with tonight? All right, it's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, more with the Miz after this. Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. It is Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. We are blessed to be talking with one of the superstars, the biggest superstars in the WWE. It is The Miz. He takes on Daniel Bryan tonight at the MCG. Tickets still available. Now, The Miz, we know you are something of a complete package. You've got the looks, obviously, the charm, the charisma.
Thank you.
All that, the full-on, all the moves. But what is your move? Is it the face
buster? Skull-crushing finale.
Yeah. So,
and basically why I call it the skull-crushing finale, it's because the skull hits the mat. It's the final thing you'll see, so it is the finale. Skull-crushing finale. Don't try it at home, kids. It's very dangerous. Only trained professionals do that.
So where do you get that from? How many hours of training have you put into perfecting that sort of move?
There's not a day that in the past, like, I guess, gosh, when did I start? 2002? So what is that? 16 years. I've been training for these kind of moments. I mean, these are the moments that I have trained for my entire life. Moments like, you know, being in front of so many people in Australia. You know, these kind of moments are of what I prepared for.
Now, you mentioned earlier the main event, Triple H versus The Undertaker, two absolute legends of the game. What can you tell us about those two guys? I mean, they are absolutely...
I've been in the ring with both of them.
Yeah, they
and let me tell you something.
Stars.
The mind games that the Undertaker plays are second to none. From the first gong to his slow pace of walk, to the to lighting, to taking everything off. He's just a phenom. There's something about him, his aura, that literally you look at, and you, when you're standing across from him in the ring, you can't help but feel intimidated.
I could imagine.
And that's coming from me, who doesn't get intimidated by anybody. And then Triple H is a cerebral assassin. There's no one smarter in this game than Triple H. So he's a person that can take that kind of mind games and use them against you. And so it's going to be a match you want to see. Then you add, you know, Shawn Michaels and Kane on the outside. This is just going to be a match that you're going to want to see.
The Miz, if it was you against us two in the ring,
I'd beat you.
Speaking of intimidation,
you'd both lose.
Yeah, who would you be most sort of wary of? Like, who do you, I mean, Joey sort of.
We'd have to tag team.
The elite
Joey
athlete.
In his gray t-shirt and you in your gray hoodie. Neither.
I reckon we could take him J-tag team
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the speed. I got the sort of the...
Well,
the
when's the last power. Time you've actually trained?
Yeah, no, that's a very
that's
good
That's the thing, though, because you're looking a little like that's, you got a dad. Are you a dad? Because you got a dad bod
I
now.
Actually am recently a dad.
Well, of course you are.
12 months ago.
I could tell, by the way. I looked at you. I go, this guy, when they said you were an athlete, I went, this guy's an athlete? I went, you got to be kidding me. This guy's rocking a dad bod.
I've enjoyed my 12 months of retirement, Miz.
Yes, you have. And it shows. Good for you.
We are talking to The Miz, of course, fighting Daniel Bryan tonight at the MCG. The WWE Super Showdown going to be absolutely fantastic. 2010 WWE champion, 10-time intercontinental champ. But what's
eight
this
time,
about,
but who's counting?
Eight-time. I thought it was 10. What's this about you being taken down by Daniel Bryant's wife, Brie Bella? Was that just a lucky shot? Or, I mean, your rival's wife is sort of...
Who won that match?
Has she got the better of you?
But look, I will I'll take a shot from a girl anytime to literally win the match. My wife pinned Brie Bella 1-2-3.
Okay.
So that's all that matters. Did I take a shot? Absolutely. I think she hits harder than Daniel Bryan.
Oh, I like it. Is there any chance we're going to see them as part of the, then are they going to be there tonight?
The Bellas are actually taking on, the Bellas and Ronda Rousey are taking on the Riot Squad tonight. So that's going to be absolutely an incredible match. I mean, it's definitely a marquee. Whenever Ronda Rousey's name is in anything, everyone wants to watch it.
All right. Very good. What are you going to be doing in the couple of hours before the big bout tonight? How do you prepare? A bit of
focusing,
yoga.
Kind of get I don't do yoga. I'm more music. You know, I'll listen to some AC/DC, huh? I'll listen to some Parkway Drive. There you go.
You heard of John Farnham?
Huh?
No,
I don't know that one. I'll watch a Hugh Jackman movie. How about that for you?
Very good. Well, The Miz, it is going to be an absolutely sensational show tonight, of course. WWE Super Showdown live at the MCG, expecting a massive crowd up to 100,000. The Miz versus Daniel Bryan. What's your parting sledge to this, man? What can he expect from you tonight, The Miz?
A pin, 1-2-3. My arm being hoisted up. Being called the number one contender for the WWE Championship. Then, sorry, it won't be in Australia, but I'll win the WWE Championship, and then I'll come back next year in Australia and be your champion.
Oh, I like
it. Back on top.
You
backing
him, Joey?
Absolutely, I'm backing him. Look at
him. There it is.
I like it. All right, then, Miz, thanks so much for joining us, mate.
Thank you, guys. You guys have been awesome.
All the best tonight. Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, that was The Miz. Make sure you get there tonight. We'll have more after this on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. How about The Miz, Joey?
How about the cheek of The Miz?
Bit of a clip there.
Hey, told me I had a dad bod and then I've trained off. Oh, sorry, Miz. Hope Daniel Bryan beats him tonight. I wouldn't say too while he was in the studio.
He was in great shape, The Miz, and a lot of fun. Going to be a huge show tonight. We got a huge second hour, Joey, and guess what? In about 10 minutes' time, we're going to give away 4 tickets to the Caulfield Guineas next Saturday at the Caulfield Racetrack. Going to be a monster day. We've got 4 tickets to give away in the second hour. Tune in. We're going to be speaking more trades, of course. Dylan Shiel, where he may go, and the Victorian cricket all-rounder, Cameron White, of course, ahead of the semi-final against WA. That's tomorrow at Junction Oval. So lots coming up in the second hour. Tune in. Giving away 4 tickets to the Caulfield Guineas. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. That's it. Your Saturday morning is sorted on the M's Dead Set Legends time with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. Just look out this window at our South Melbourne studio. Clear blue skies, Joey. What a day it would be at the track today. Flemington winks 28 straight. She
just rolls on again. Okay. 3 o'clock, I think that is today. Must watch. Got to watch Winks.
Yeah, taking the $1.15 or...
I'll probably sit out that one.
Hey, now the next...
Unless I need a win. Then I just... put 10 bucks on it and feel good.
It is Spring Carnival time, which is a great time in Melbourne. We've just been through the footy finals, which is outstanding. Plenty of excitement. Spring Carnival time, Joey. It's where you sort of dust off all your sort of blazers from the year before and the jackets.
Are your suit still fit you?
Yeah. Are you going to
roll? 4 months later?
Are you going to roll with the same stuff from last year, or are you heading down to Meds Club in Richmond or whatever to get some new kit?
Well, I'm probably going to keep wearing the same kits I've got, although my shirts are getting tighter, but it is a good time of year, Spring Carnival. The footy is out the way. We know we've got trade period, but the races come out and everyone gets the frocks out and gets organised to head to one of the days, whether it's Caulfield, which we're going to be at for the next couple of weeks, or the Flemington Carnival early November. It's a great time of year.
Well, I tell you what, Joey, since you mention it, we're going to give away 4 tickets. Not only to the Caulfield Guineas, which is this Saturday coming up, we've also got 4 tickets to the Caulfield Cup the following Saturday, Joey. October 13, October 20. Call now, 133353. You're first in. You'll get 4 tickets to either the Guineas or the Caulfield Cup
with access to the Carlton Draft front bar top deck, which is amazing. It overlooks the winning post. We'll be there doing the show live for the next 2 Saturdays from the Caulfield at the Carlton Draft front bar top deck. So you also can come and watch us early if you want to get there, Jay.
Yes.
Get the day started. Come and watch us early and then have a good day at the races.
Come and have a chin wag with Joey. However, I've had a look at your little notepad there, which is filled with all your little racing tips, etc. And I see something circled down the bottom. We're going to get to your tip of the day.
I've got the inside word on one today from the trainer's stable.
You're normally very confident. Today, you're even more confident. And we're going to be doing that around about 10 to 12. So stick with us. But of course, Carlton Draft Brewery Fresh Caulfield Cup Carnival coming up 13th to the 20th of October. Tickets at mrcracing.com. And the phone board has just lit up, Joey. Everyone wants these tickets. It's going to be a magnificent couple of days. Next, mate, we're going to go through some best and fairest winners from the past couple of nights. There has been a couple of surprise results. I'm going to pick your brains on those. It's Jay Clark, Lee Montagna, more trade chat also later coming up next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, it's Dead Set Legends time on Triple M with Jay Clark and Lee Montagna.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday scoreboard time, Jay. And we thought we were going to go through the best and fairest results. There are about 7 best and fairest last night in the AFL. Before that, though, we were going to do a quick little Melbourne United are playing the Toronto Raptors. We were going to give a score update, but it's pretty ugly.
How ugly?
It's Melbourne United 70, the Toronto Raptors 109. Mm. And Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry aren't even playing.
Oh, boy.
So it's a bit ugly for our boys United, but that's okay. Doesn't matter.
Real lesson.
Let's get on to the best and fairest results of some of the clubs last night. And we'll start with the Blues.
Yep.
Pretty obvious one. Paddy Cripps won comfortably from Cade Simpson and the Kurnow boys in third. By the way, Paddy Cripps, you still owe me 2 bottles of red because we had a bet. Paddy Cripps versus Andrew Gaff in the Brownlow. Yeah, who'd poll more votes?
You won. It's been a busy week.
When you declared Gaff as a certainty to win the Brownlow,
Joey, to be honest, if he didn't I think that red wine, those Shiraz, would be coming back my way.
Possibly. You didn't foresee that one. I don't think anyone did. But Paddy Cripps and, of course, the new captains were announced. What are your thoughts on the co-captains Paddy Cripps and Sam Docherty?
Yeah, it's worked for Melbourne clearly with the dual vice captains and GWS as well. They've got the same. I don't think you want to put it all on Paddy Cripps just yet. We love Sam Docherty, mature guy, so that's perfect.
I agree. Collingwood's best and fairest last night, and it was a tie. Brody Grundy and Steele Sidebottom. I think it's a fair result, but they couldn't split them even on a countback. So that's the first time since 1994 there's been a tie in the Copeland Trophy. So great result for those two boys, and your man Scotty Pendlebury came third.
I think that so he's been top three every year since 2007, Joey, just getting the job done.
But Pendlebury, Sidebottom and Grundy, that's a fair result. I think you couldn't split those two. They had sensational years. Sydney Swans had their best and fairest. Jake Lloyd, a little bit of a surprise, but he did have a sensational season. To be fair, though, none of the other Swans, I don't think, were consistent enough throughout the whole year.
Yep.
Franklin had a terrific year, but had his ups and downs. Parker and Josh Kennedy probably weren't quite themselves. Parker finished second and Franklin third in that one. The GWS also had their best and fairest. Lockie Whitfield, no surprises there. All Australian across halfback. He won the best and fairest from Callum Ward, who came second. And Phil Davis, who I threw up should have been an All Australian defender, he came third in their best and fairest.
No Dylan Scheel in the Giants' top five. We could talk about him and where he may be headed later, but interesting that he wasn't up there at the pointy end.
That's a tough. I mean, those three hard to argue. Steve Canelio couldn't even break into the top three. That's how good the GWS midfield. The Kangaroos had their best and fairest. Sean Higgins, back-to-back medals there. He defeated Ben Cunnington, who came second. That's 2 years in a row. The Quinella has been Higgins winning, Cunnington second. And West Coast Eagles, the Premiers, they had their best and fairest last night. Elliot Yeo joins that illustrious club of winning a premiership and a best and fairest in the same year. He's won back-to-back best and fairest, defeating Jack Redden and Shannon Hearn.
I thought Gaff was leading at round 19-ish too. Yep. So had he played his whole year, again, if he didn't belt Brayshaw, he probably would have won that.
Absolutely. And last one, Geelong was a bit of a surprise. Mark Blitzarth, sensational season, defeated Tim Kelly and Patrick Dangerfield by half a vote. Let's not get started on how you lose by half a vote in a best and fairest count, but he did. Blitzarth won, and Gary Ablett did not make the top 10.
Are you surprised by that?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, that was interesting. So maybe that the coaches thought a little bit along the lines of some of the media out there that maybe, you know, best and fairest, a lot of it comes down to your defensive pressure and your tackling and those sorts of things. But surprising considering he averaged 29 disposals and played 19 games.
We bang on a lot about Mason Cox and, you know, what a great recruiting story his is. Mark Blitzarth might be the greatest recruiting story in the AFL. This guy was a runner, you know, he's won 2 best and fairest now. He's played virtually every position on the park. Like, it is just an amazing story. Credit to the Geelong recruiting staff, Stephen Wells, the find him in the first place, but clearly the dedication he showed to go from athletics to kicking the pigskin.
That's the key. To have the athleticism is one thing, but then to be able to apply it to take up another sport like Mason Cox has done, you've got to be quite intelligent, you've got to have a strong work ethic and getting all the rewards, Mark Blitzarth. So there's some of the best and fairest results over the past couple of nights.
Now, you know, I like to give you a curly question every Saturday, Joey. You sort of begged me to give it to you first. You got a bit of lead up time to make a decision.
You haven't given me warning on this one.
I kept this one from you. Now, Collingwood are trying to get Steve May, obviously, right, from Gold Coast. They've only got pick 17 and Gold Coast want more than that. So how do they get this deal done? They probably have to include a player or two, Joey, right? And they don't want your fringe tops, Joey. They want a decent midfielder or someone who's going to really play consistently. So if you're Collingwood, do you give up pick 17 and one of two players, Tom Phillips or Braden Sire? Which of those two players would you be more prepared to give up along with pick 17 to get rid of Stephen May?
This is not one of your best picks for me. Braden Sire, I think, is going to be a star.
More than Phillips?
Absolutely. I'd get rid of Tom Phillips in a heartbeat.
Would you?
I've been speaking to people about Sire. Yep. His numbers so far early in his career are better than Paddy Cripps, Josh Kennedy, any of these big bull midfielders. I think Sire's going to be an absolute star. Yeah, sorry, Tommy Phillips. I know you had a really good season, but you're shooting off to where? Gold Coast?
Yeah.
For Stephen, mate. Sire. I'm a big rap for Sire. I think he'll be a star.
The Collingwood recruiting crew are going to have to get creative on this deal because they're going to have pick 4 possibly from Fremantle or 5 to give for Jesse Hogan. That's going to put him in the lead spot for Steve May. Collingwood going to have to get creative. Rebsy, what do you think? Sire or Phillips? Who do you most want to keep?
I'm backing Joe. Different players.
Yeah.
Sire's really good inside. Phillips runs all day. So.
Put your nose on the line, Rebsy.
Phillips.
Phillips! Mm. Oh, we got a division of the Dead Set Legends. No.
You send want Phillips, Phillips to go. Yeah.
Send Phillips. Sorry. Yeah. So you're keeping Sire. Yeah. Okay, very good. Hey, next we're going to get full on into some trade chat. Joey, you want to speak about Dylan Shiel. Where is he going to end up next season? I think it could be Carlton or Hawthorn. You may have other ideas. We'll talk about that next. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna, some trade talk on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Dire Straits on. It's been an outstanding playlist today, Rabsy. You've come in, you've taken over from Rosie, and you've delivered the goods.
I didn't do anything. I'm just pushing the button.
It is Jay Clark and Lee Montagna. It is time for some trade talk. Let's get straight into it, Joey. Dylan Shiel. He's got 4 options. Carlton, Hawthorn on the top tier for mine. Then St Kilda and Essendon. For mine, it's a battle of, do you want to go play for Alistair Clarkson and be at a great club like Hawthorn, or do you want to be part of something new and rise up the ladder with the Blues and get a bit more money? What way do you see?
Well, look, my understanding is that it's actually a pretty tight split between all 4 clubs. They are still well and truly in the race, and I can understand the dilemma he faces, because as you touched on, each one of the clubs has got their own appeal. Now, Hawthorn, you're right. You go to a great club, you've got the best coach, one of the best coaches of all time. Now, Sam Mitchell's coming back, who we've just seen what he's done at West Coast. A great culture and a club that it's a really, you know, really strong culture at a club.
But so Hawthorn, are they going to go up the ladder or down the ladder?
I think they'll stay around about the mark. Maybe not top 4, but I still think with Clarko and what they might manipulate in this draft and trade period, they'll be around the mark. Then you've got Carlton, who we both agree you're going to get good money, and you look at their list and you start thinking if they can get Mitch McGovern, you know, Shield does go there. Setterfield as well. You start looking at what they've got and you have an eye to the future and you think, geez, if I just ride out a couple more years at Carlton, we could be on the rise and I can be part of a really strong club that gets them back up the ladder. I get that. St Kilda, a little bit like Carlton. It's not all doom and gloom, and there's 1.3 million reasons why you might go to St Kilda. But also, don't worry about their list. If you get Hanbury and Scheel in, you know, some other little things might happen. We don't know. We can always predict what's going to happen in the years to come. No one predicted Collingwood and West Coast to make the grand final, even make the eight this year. So you can't know for certain who's going to climb the ladder. St Kilda might.
Just
and
then, as the Saints, I'm just a bit nervous about what the turbulence that could be ahead. That would be the knock for me, the asterisk, you know, Alan Richardson and what's going to happen. Just seems a bit, I'm not sure the stability's there.
Yeah, look, no doubt there's pros and cons. And then the last one is Essendon that are still apparently in the mix. Now, they might not quite have as much money. They might not quite have as much to offer GWS. But for me, if I was Dylan Shield, out of those four clubs, I think they're probably the ones that are closest to a flag. I look at Essendon, I think their list is in a really strong position. And Dylan Shield might just be the missing piece. So if I am Dylan Shield and it's purely to try and win a premiership, Essendon's probably in front. My gut feel like if you want to go to a
club, does he go? Tell us, Joey. Where's he going to pick? If he said, Joey, where should I go? Pick me a club. What would you choose?
Oh, I would say St Kilda. Go to St Kilda, Shealy. you're a Bayside boy. You're a Morty Alec boy. You can live there. I wanted to go to St Kilda. Oh, it'd be hard to knock back a club like Hawthorn for me.
The Clarko factor?
Yeah, the Clarko factor, the club, the culture, the success. It'd be a pretty cool club to play for. Oh, hopefully St Kilda. But as I said, Essendon, if you want to win a premiership.
Yep.
But then Carlton, as you think, they've got the best list and they've got the most upside. You might want to go to Carlton and spend your last 7 years there.
Carlton Power Brokers flew him, of course, to Noosa. Did any other clubs entertain you, Joey? Just sort of sweet talk you over a boozy lunch?
No private jets or no boozy lunch or anything like that. It was just a quick coffee in an office and that was about it.
Because was it North Melbourne and
Colin? Essendon. No, North Melbourne and Essendon. Oh. Just casually. Nothing too in-depth or
so
too serious.
Loyal, Joey. I love that about you. Let's talk about Andrew Gaff weighing up a big decision to head to North Melbourne or not. This could happen in the next 48 hours, people. We expect that it's more likely to go with North Melbourne, Joey. But do you think the Eagles winning the grand final sort of helps finalise that decision for him to leave? How do you see the premiership in this?
I do. I think that the understanding is that he's really torn between staying at West Coast, moving back to Melbourne. I think West Coast winning the premiership makes it much easier for him to leave West Coast now because he will look at it. He's missed the boat of winning the premiership. It won't be as hard feelings because his teammates have got the medal. He can now go to Melbourne, come back with his family, get good money and try and win a flag on his own. I think if West Coast had a lost, it would have been harder for him to leave because he would have felt there was some unfinished business. He might have felt like he still owed the club a little bit and it would have been much harder for him to leave. So I certainly think by West Coast winning the flag, it makes it highly likely that he will now come to North Melbourne.
So if North Melbourne get Gaff, Pollock, Hall and Jeremy Finlayson to play fullback. Have you got North in your eight next season? Will this recruiting mission pay off?
Yes. If those four all go to North Melbourne, they'll be in the eight next year. Yep.
But will it cost them Kelly? How do they fit all these guys in the salary cap? Andrew Gaff on 1.2. I think that means that the Josh Kelly bid becomes very difficult. You can't afford them all, Joey.
Oh, well, you can't. But because the salary cap continues to grow, you can manipulate your salary cap
back
more.
End.
They might be able to back end deals, front end deals. They've got a few older players that are getting towards the end of their careers in Higgins and Thompson and Tarrant and guys like that. So they might be able to manipulate it to still get Josh Kelly. But it'll be a great trade period for the Kangaroos if they land all those big fish. A
lot of conjecture over the Luke Dalhouse move to Geelong. Do you like it? Will he help? He kicked, I think, three goals this year.
I like it for Geelong. No, I think it's a good get for Geelong. I think they've identified their forward half pressure was one of their weaknesses this season.
Yep.
I think they addressed that. I think he'll just play as a forward 50 small. He doesn't need to go into the midfield at Geelong. They've got enough midfielders. He can help those small forwards, the likes of Narkle and Cockatoo and these other guys to come into the side that'll be in the team. He can just be a pressure player back to his best when he was 2014-15 as that small forward.
Tom Lynch to Richmond. The rich get richer. The best side and the most talented list gets better. But will he upset the forward operations?
Yeah.
Or do you think improves it?
I think it'll make it a challenge for a while. Yeah, they've got to now change their system a little bit. Jack Riewoldt's been used to being the sole focal point for a few years. It does change the dynamic. So it'll be a wait and watch with Richmond. I don't necessarily just think it makes them go from being the best couple of teams to clearly the best again. There's always, and they lose a bit of depth, which is always, they didn't have any injuries for the last 2 years, Richmond. They'll lose some depth players. So they'll be a bit of a watch for me, the Tigers.
And finally on Shield, GWS want pick one for him, where Carlton only prepared to give their future first round pick. Would you, if you were Carlton, would you give up pick one for Dylan Shield.
Oh,
like Sam Walsh, this Geelong Falcons.
I did say yes earlier in the year, but I didn't realise he's 26. I wouldn't give up pick one, no. I'd give up pick four of St Kilda's for
yep.
Shield.
Okay. What if you had Carlton lastly, if you had Shield and Setterfield for pick one? Would that tip you in?
Yes.
Oh, it'd be a massive call. It would send...
Unconvincingly, yes.
The pick number one up there to GWS. Of course, lots happening over the next fortnight. Stick with Triple M. We're going to have all the latest trade chat, of course, and news and views as it all breaks. But next, Joey, we're going to start to get into cricket season. Yeah. The Australian Test starts tomorrow, and the Victorian men's cricket team, may they finally have some more silverware on the way. They play a semi-final tomorrow against WA. We'll be talking to Cameron White next. It's Jay Clark, Liam Montagna, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yes, welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. It is Jay Clark and Liam Montagna. Joey, next we're going to speak to Cameron White from the Victorian men's cricket team, Junction Oval. Absolutely looking a treat. They take on Western Australia tomorrow in the second semi-final, Tasmania versus Queensland. Today, how the Vic's going to win, we'll find out next with Cameron Wright. It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends. That's us, Jay Clark and Liam Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends until 12 o'clock when the guys will be all over Bathurst from 12 o'clock today and tomorrow, Mount Panorama, Joey. It's going to be some exciting action up on the hill. But right now, we are speaking to one of Victorian cricket's best ever prodigies, really. He can bat, he can bowl, he does it all. And a great bloke, Cameron White, good morning.
Boys, how are you?
You like that little intro, mate? Or?
Oh, that's a very genius.
Oh, well, we love you, mate. Now, of course, you've got the big semi-final against Western Australia tomorrow at Junction Oval. It looks an absolute treat. You just had a net session, mate. How'd you hit him? Did you find the middle?
Oh, yeah, managed to see a couple out of the hand. That was about all. I've never been a great net batsman myself, so yes. Got out of there alive, unscathed. It's more the important thing when you have a net, I reckon.
Sometimes, don't you find it's weird, isn't it? Like, sometimes you might be scratchy in the nets and then the next day go out and make some runs as opposed to hitting them absolutely sweetly in training and then copying a good one first. Nari, tell us about the game tomorrow. Where's the strength in the Victorian team this year?
Yeah, obviously, WA have been the form team throughout the camp. I think we've got the best team on paper. They actually gave us a touch-up here sort of a week or so ago. At the junction, so I guess the benefit is we've got a bit of a look at what they're gonna, what they're gonna bring for us. So, but in terms of our strengths, I think probably our batting is our strength. We have a very solid top six or seven. So, kind of hoping we can win the toss and post a decent score tomorrow. The other day when we played them, we only made just over 200, and they just sort of they're batting very aggressively. So, they knocked it off pretty quickly, but. I just feel as though if we can get a score up around the 300 mark and then put a little bit of pressure on them, it just might be a little bit different in a game that sort of matters a bit more, a final with a bit more pressure.
Cam, how has the Junction Oval been playing? Because obviously the new facilities, it looks awesome. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow, I think 24 degrees. So if you're around town tomorrow in Melbourne, get down to the Junction Oval. But how is the new grandstand or the new stadium there come up?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Lee. It's just a great place to, it's great to have our own home, I guess. When we're based out of the G, every day you're sort of dragging your big cricket coffin in and out of the car. And if there's ever an event or anything on, obviously footy, going into footy finals and the start of the cricket season, we're always sort of getting shipped out. So it's just a nice place to leave your bag. You don't have to put it in your car every day. And, the facilities are great. I think there's something like 50-odd outdoor practice wickets here. A huge indoor facility, all the gym and all the recovery facilities as well. So it's just a really nice place to be based. You're coming here every day. So, and obviously when things are brand new, it's sort of getting a fresh start, I guess, especially when you're an old fellow like me and been around the place for a while.
The test action starts tomorrow, of course, Cam, Pakistan versus Australia over there in Dubai. Great that our man Aaron Finch, of course, is in the team and looks like he's opening. But do you know much about the bolter in the team, the selection shock, Marnus Labuschagne?
Yeah, loose bus change, Marnus loose bus change. I saw a bit of stuff that cricket.com putting up the other day. That was pretty funny. But, played a little bit against Marnus. Very good sort of... I think he's batted sort of through the middle order for Queensland. Quite a good player of spin, so that's probably obviously why he's playing. I'm assuming that with Matt Renshaw out, that everyone might just, I'm only guessing here, but just slide, you know, Usman Khawaja will slide up to open and everyone will sort of just move up the batting order a bit. So that would mean Marnus would slip into the middle order there. Pretty good player of spin. Excellent fielder. A lot of energy in the field and very good fielder. So he'll have an impact there. But also, along with Finchie, great to see. I think Johnny Holland is almost a lock as well. I think he got five for the other day in the tour match. So
brilliant.
Hopefully they go with two spinners. It'd be great to see John and Finchie. A little rumour going around there today on social media that Peter Siddle might get the nod as well. So Hopefully a couple of vicks in.
Outstanding. Do you have aspirations to sort of represent Australia anymore, Bear? Or how does that all sit with you?
Look, I guess so. Well, I'm still playing for Victoria and still enjoying cricket. I don't think you can, keep playing with not sort of looking to get a game for Australia. So, although I think it's probably my chance is probably all but finished. Those couple of little games I played, or a couple of games last year that I played, probably my last very small window. But, you never know. But I'm just enjoying playing cricket with the Vics. Obviously, as we just touched on, new facility here at the Junction is good. And hopefully we can play well tomorrow.
And the test series coming up this summer versus India. How big a test is that going to be for a bit of a new look Australian side, Cameron?
Yeah, obviously outside of the Ashes, India now is probably the biggest, definitely from a broadcaster's point of view and probably from a player's point of view, the next biggest sort of thing in test cricket, I reckon. So, to be honest, I reckon we're going to have our work cut out. I reckon they're pretty good, India, or very good. Obviously, their batsmen are led by Kohli, exceptional. And their pace attack now is gathering strength. Obviously, they were in that. They've just recently played in England, where they were in the series for a small part, and then the experience of England's bowlers sort of got them through at the end. But I think Australia is going to really have to be on their game by the time India sort of come to Australia. I think they're going to put us under a fair bit of pressure.
We certainly look forward to it. Virat Kohli, as you say, in superb form. One of the best batsmen in the world. Going to be interesting to see how many he can make on these Australian pitches. Cameron White, thanks so much for joining us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends today. Good luck in the big semi-final against Western Australia at the Junction Oval tomorrow.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Cameron White, one of the good blokes, Joey.
Absolutely, ripping fellow. And one of Victoria's greats. He's been around for a very long time and still seeing them very well. He's made 100 and a couple of big scores in the JLT Cup. So hopefully he can continue on that form for the Vics tomorrow and they can play in the final of the JLT Cup, which will be at the Junction Oval.
Yeah, you can't write him off. I mean, we all sort of thought Peter Siddle was finished.
Yeah, you never know. I like that. You've got to have that attitude while you're playing cricket for your state. You just never know when you might get the call up for the national team.
He's the big bear and a great man. It is Jay Clark, Lee Montagna. Next, Joey, we're going to get you give me a spell to favourite segment of the week and your tip, because you have been on fire and all the punters, they've
one.
Been hanging out for some gold. It's
good
Jay
value
Clark,
too.
All bit of money, Lee Montagna on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Music from Living End on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. I like that one, Joey. The Living End boys just been pumping out great tunes for a decade now.
Absolutely. It's been a great playlist today. That's part of our show. I think sometimes it covers us, Jay. When the music's good, people stay listening. It's awesome.
Just claim it, Rabsy, of course.
Yeah,
Rosie.
No, it was me.
Well done. Off for a fortnight. The Hot Breakfast crew, they'll be talking from Hawaii over the next fortnight. Should be outstanding. But now, Joey, it is time for our favourite segment.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Well, I'll go first with my give me a spell, and this one's been eating me up since a couple of nights ago. Give me a spell has to go to the Honey Badger, Nick Cummins, the Bachelor.
What was he thinking?
Give me a spell. He's rejected both girls.
Come on, Badge.
Not only has he broken their hearts, he's played with the emotions of all of us viewers, Aaron, myself, watching The Bachelor.
Wasted
Who's he
going
to choose? We had a bet going. I had Sophie. She had Brittany. And he's just destroyed all of our emotions. Messed with all of us. Why go? See, this is what annoyed me. He never went on that show looking for love.
No.
His rugby career was coming to the end. He was getting some money. He wanted to build his profile for the next stage of his career, get all his brand ambassador stuff. And he's walked away with no girl. Give me a spell, Honey Badger. You disappointed us. Had to get that off my chest.
Maybe.
And that's on behalf of my wife as well.
Maybe
Honey
it was
Badger.
Smart by him. Hey, I want to say, give me a spell to the St Kilda Football Club.
Oh,
Rabsy,
cool.
If you're going to put on all the bells and whistles and go and entertain Dylan Shield, get Nick Riewoldt in, in and Simon Lethlin and try and convince him to come to Moorabbin. Why wouldn't you get our man, Lee Montagna? Why wasn't he invited to this big show? You're the best talker this side of Moorabbin. Joey, why weren't you involved to sell the club?
Actually, interestingly, after the GWS lost to Collingwood, I went and met Lenny Hayes and Adam Schneider, who worked for the Giants, and had a beer with them and saw them at the hotel. And I just did put my arm around Dylan Shield at the time and said, if you do want to come to St Kilda, give me a call. Still haven't got a call from him.
Oh, good work, Dylan. Now, all the punters have been hanging out. Oh, no, Rabs, you've got to give me a spell. What's yours?
Well, yesterday was Bring Your Own Cup Day to 7-Eleven to fill the Slurpees. And there was a bloke with a wheelbarrow on Clarendon Street yesterday.
He didn't.
Full of a Slurpee.
No.
No one needs that much Slurpee. No one needs Tambark in their Slurpee as well. Full wheelbarrow.
He's taking the pee.
Absolutely taking the piss.
The poor attendant at 7-Eleven. How did he negotiate his way through that one? Joey,
for a dollar.
All the punters are hanging out.
Yes, I've got
one
today.
They want your tip, and we've got high expectations, so
don't
let
us down. And this is good value, and it's some inside information from the stable.
Yep.
Race 3 at Flemington today, number 2, Sovereign Nation.
Right.
It's second up. I know they are very confident. It's currently $7.
Ooh.
Great value.
Very.
Only thing that's made me nervous is I just checked before I gave the tip, and there's been one horse in the race, though, number 9, Holbein, that's been backed in from $11 to $4.80.
Backed
so
off the
that's map. Made me very nervous. So if Holbein does happen to beat Sovereign Nation, I've just thrown the warning out there to the punters, but have an each-way bet, race 3, number 2, Sovereign Nation, $7. You get your money back if it runs second or third. I really like the look of it. And it's early in the day, so it's in about nearly 2 hours' time, that race. So just have a little bit each way, and you can pay for dinner.
Race 3, number 2.
Sovereign Nation.
At $7.
Yep.
But the other thing's been backed off the map in the last
hour. Yep, that's made me nervous, yep. But we'll stick with it. We'll stick with it.
Never a good sign. Hey, Winks running today, Turnbull Stakes at Flemington. Just coast to victory, you think, Joey?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great to watch. We don't want it to lose. Nobody wants it to lose, so we'll see how we go.
And the big UFC fight, who
you got? Yes, absolutely.
McGregor
tomorrow, UFC 229, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nurmagomedov, that's how you say his name.
Call him Khabib.
Russian Khabib is taking on Conor McGregor, so that's going to be interesting viewing. So grab some mates if you can. I think the pay-per-view starts at about 1 o'clock. That'll be enormous to watch Conor McGregor. Oh, I'm one of those blokes that wants to see Conor McGregor get knocked out, to be honest. Mm. So I'm going for Khabib. Yeah, what do you want? Do you want McGregor to win or lose?
Yeah, I like the show he puts on.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great show. Must watch. But so that's tomorrow as well. So another great show.
We've got 10 seconds. Who's your dead set legend of the week?
We're going to go Billy Slater.
Perfect.
Retired. They're going to get a statue. He deserves it, Billy. So that's all we've got time for on Dead Set Legends this afternoon. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Lee Montagna, Jay Clark, Ryan Warren. Enjoy your weekend.